As mentioned earlier, the frozen gain becomes chargeable when there is a chargeable event. The most common chargeable event is the sale of the EIS shares themselves. When the EIS shares are sold, there will sometimes be a gain on the shares themselves, and this disposal will also crystallize the frozen gain. We will look at gains and losses on EIS shares in the next session. A gift of the EIS shares is also a chargeable event, unless the gift is to one's spouse. If a taxpayer gifts shares to his spouse, this does not crystallize the frozen gain. However, when the spouse ultimately disposes of the EIS shares, this will be a chargeable event. If the investor becomes non-UK resident within 3 years of the issue of the shares, this is a chargeable event which will crystallize the frozen gain. The exception to this is if the investor goes abroad on a full-time employment contract and returns to the UK within 3 years. Finally, if the EIS shares themselves cease to be eligible shares, the frozen gain will become chargeable. For example, if the EIS company changes its trade and engages in non-qualifying activities, the deferred gain is charged. However, a flotation of the EIS company on the stock exchange does not crystallize the frozen gain. If the previously unlisted company becomes a quoted company, this will not result in the frozen gain being charged, unless there were arrangements in place for the company to float at the time the shares were originally acquired. The frozen gain will crystallize in the year of the chargeable event and not when the original disposal took place.
Let us look now at the interaction of EIS relief with entrepreneurs relief. It is possible for a gain to be eligible for both EIS reinvestment relief and entrepreneurs relief. The way the reliefs interact depends on when the gain arose. Where a gain arose prior to the 23rd of June 2010, which was eligible for entrepreneurs relief, but could also be deferred by EIS reinvestment relief, both claims for relief could be made. Entrepreneurs relief applied first. The gain was reduced by 4/9, then the balance of the gain was deferred by EIS reinvestment relief. For example, Mrs. N, a higher rate taxpayer, sold her business on the 1st of May 2010, and realised a gain of £99,000, which qualified for entrepreneurs relief. She reinvests £100,000 of the proceeds of sale in qualifying EIS shares. As £100,000 has been reinvested, the full amount of the gain of £99,000 could be deferred. However, a claim for entrepreneurs relief would reduce the amount of chargeable gain, and the balance could be deferred. So, if Mrs. N makes a claim for both reliefs, we will first reduce the gain by 4/9, leaving a gain of £55,000. This amount will then be deferred by the EIS reinvestment relief. If Mrs. N wished, she could claim an amount of EIS reinvestment relief of less than £55,000. She might wish to do this if her annual exemption were still available. When Mrs. N sells the EIS shares in the future, the deferred gain of £55,000 comes back into charge. This gain will be taxed at 28%, and Mrs. N is a higher rate taxpayer. The position is different when the gain arises on or after the 23rd of June 2010. The individual can choose either to claim entrepreneur's relief in respect of the gain. In this case, the gain will be chargeable in the year it arises at a rate of 10%, or to claim EIS reinvestment relief instead of entrepreneur's relief. When the frozen gain comes back into charge, it will be taxed at 18% or 28% depending on whether the individual is a higher rate taxpayer. It will not qualify for the special rate of 10%. The individual can no longer claim both reliefs in respect of the same gain. Suppose instead that Mrs. N sold her business on the 1st of July 2010, realising a gain of £99,000, which qualified for entrepreneur's relief. Again, she reinvests £100,000 of the proceeds of the sale in qualifying EIS shares. Mrs. N has two choices. Firstly, she could claim entrepreneur's relief in respect of the gain. Assuming she has no other gains in the tax year, we simply take the gain of £99,000, deduct the annual exemption of £10,100, and tax the remaining gain at 10%, giving a tax liability for 2010-11 of £8,890. Alternatively, Mrs. N could claim EIS reinvestment relief. This defers the gain such that no tax is payable in 2010-11. However, When the gain comes back into charge, for example when the EIS shares are sold, it will be taxed at 28%, as Mrs. N is a higher rate taxpayer. Mrs. N will need to decide whether she wishes to pay tax earlier, but as a lower rate, or defer tax, but pay at a higher rate in the future. If a claim for entrepreneur's relief is made, but the full gain does not qualify for relief because the individual's lifetime limit has been exceeded, then the excess gain can be deferred using EIS reinvestment relief. Lastly, we shall consider entrepreneur's relief in respect of deferred gains which arose before the 6th of April 2008. Entrepreneur's relief first became available on the 6th of April 2008. However, if an earlier gain was deferred using EIS reinvestment relief, it may be possible under certain circumstances to claim entrepreneur's relief when that gain becomes chargeable. A claim can be made if the original disposal would have satisfied the qualifying conditions for entrepreneur's relief. However, the relevant EIS shares must still be held by the original investor. If the shares have been transferred to a spouse or civil partner, entrepreneur's relief will not be available, even if the shares are transferred back before the gain becomes chargeable. If the deferred gain became chargeable before the 23rd of June 2010, the gain was reduced by 4/9 if a claim for entrepreneur's relief was made. If the deferred gain becomes chargeable on or after the 23rd of June 2010, the full gain will be charged to tax at 10%. Let's look at an example which illustrates this. Mr. C, a higher rate taxpayer, sold his business in May 2005 and realized a gain of £270,000. He subscribed £250,000 in qualifying EIS shares in July 2006 and made the maximum claim for EIS reinvestment relief. In August 2010, he sells the EIS shares. This was his only disposal in 2010-11. The gain on the disposal by Mr. C in 2005 would have qualified for entrepreneur's relief had the relief been available then. Mr. C can therefore claim entrepreneur's relief in respect of the deferred gain when it comes back into charge on the disposal of the EIS shares in August 2010. The gain deferred is £250,000, i.e. the amount of the EIS investment. As no other disposals were made in 2010-11, we deduct the annual exemption, leaving a taxable gain of £239,900. As a claim for entrepreneur's relief is made, this gain will be taxable at 10%, giving a liability of £23,990.
Let us complete this session by attempting a practice question. We are told that Graham made a gain on the sale of his Gunn Limited shares of £50,000. Because Graham subscribed for shares in a qualifying EIS company, he can claim EIS reinvestment relief to defer all or part of this capital gain.
This gain will be reduced by Graham's annual exemption to give him a taxable gain. The requirement is to calculate the amount of EIS reinvestment relief that Graham should be advised to claim. Graham does not want to pay any CGT, so he'd like his taxable gain to be zero. Graham made no other disposals in 2010-11, so his annual exemption of £10,100 is fully intact. Graham would therefore like his gain to be £10,100. You are told in the question that Graham subscribed £35,000 for his new EIS shares, so this is his maximum EIS reinvestment relief. Graham can specify a lower amount in the claim. However, here you would advise Graham to claim full relief of £35,000. This would leave a gain of £15,000 to be reduced by the annual exemption and then taxed at 28%. We are told that Julie made a gain on the sale of her business of £185,000 in May 2004. Because Julie subscribed for shares in a qualifying EIS company, she would have been able to make a claim for EIS deferral relief. The question asks us to calculate the tax chargeable in 2010-11. Julie would have made a claim to defer £100,000 of the gain in May 2004. As the EIS shares have been sold in July 2010, this deferred gain comes back into charge. However, as the original disposal would have qualified for entrepreneur's relief, had the relief been available in May 2004, Julie can claim the relief in 2010-11. The gain will be reduced by the annual exemption and then, because of entrepreneur's relief, taxed at the special rate of 10%. That concludes the session on EIS reinvestment relief.